Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest is making a return visit to The Download. Former Chicago Bull and Kenwood Academy alum is back in town for the fifth annual Full Court Press Against Cancer, taking place Friday at Gallery Marchetti. It's being put on by the Nazi Muhammad Foundation. Nazi Muhammad was here last year to talk about his retirement from the NBA, which was very short-lived. In March of this year, Muhammad signed with the Oklahoma City Thunder to play out the final stretch of the season. So where are we at now? Well, Nazi Muhammad's right here in studio. Good to see you. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Good to see you, too.
All right, so let's talk about that. I mean, you know, you had kind of talked about in the last interview just about keeping yourself ready and keeping yourself primed for opportunities, both physically and mentally, and that opportunity came. So talk about why you decided to go back to basketball in March.
It was a situation that I just couldn't turn down. having a previous experience in making it to the finals with Oklahoma City and a relationship with Sam Presti, who's the GM, and Kevin Durant, and Nick Collison, right, and just Russell, just having those guys there and them reaching out to me, and I knew they had a great team that could compete for a championship. I couldn't say no to that.
I mean, is that the only kind of way that you would come back in situations that you knew? But what do you have to do to prepare yourself to enter into an NBA season that far along?
You have to, like, through the process, I continued to work out like I was about to play, because you cannot get on the NBA court and not be in the right type of condition.
You can't be winded on play three, right?
I know. You just can't just do the typical stay in shape workouts, lifting little weights, biking, and then all of a sudden you're on the court with the best athletes in the world in basketball. So I kept my training regimen. I was on the court 3 days a week. I was lifting weights 3 to 4 days a week. I was doing yoga, hot yoga. I was doing sprints. My wife thought I was a little crazy. She was like, "You retired?" I'm like, "Babe, you know, I still want to be in shape."
Well, I mean, there is a difference between being in shape and being healthy and being basketball shape. I mean, so I can see where your wife's coming from, because the kind of the routine it would take to be ready to play at that level is probably pretty intense.
Yeah, it's definitely intense, and at 38, it gets harder. So I didn't want to, you know, my whole thing was I knew that my role coming back would be for a position that wasn't going to play much, but the competitor in me is like, I'm going to be ready to play. So I wanted to be in shape to, like, hey, coach calls me, I'm ready to play and I'm ready to perform and perform well. I don't want to do bad.
Not to belittle the idea of a player who doesn't play, but, I mean, that's only the tip of the iceberg, because I would assume that you coming back means that you're doing full practices, you're being the defense against plays that are being tried out by Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. But the point being that it's not like you just come out and you get to wear the suit and sit on the side and be like, I made it back to the NBA. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it off the court.
I mean, you're expected to do everything. I mean, you're expected to practice. I mean, I'm in there banging against Steven Adams every day in practice.
Oh,
I mean, you're expected to come early. I still was leaving late, put your extra workouts in, because if your name is called, you're expected to perform and help the team win. So you don't want to be in a position where you just kind of hanging around and you're not going to play. Guys like that don't last.
Right.
The guys who don't play and don't prepare to play won't be around for too long.
You know, I mean, the NBA is changing. I mean, we've seen this from even your time in Chicago. I mean, you've seen with the Golden State Warriors and other teams, they're spreading out. There's a little less emphasis on the big man.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what you're seeing for the trendier offenses in the league. For you and the Oklahoma City Thunder, I mean, that was kind of the whole thing in the playoffs, is that you changed. You went back to boxing out and grabbing boards, and it felt like more of sort of the basketball that we've known and loved for so long. But talk about that. As a big man and as one that's, you know, getting up there in age, do you scoff at the idea of the game changing and being more offensive minded?
It's expected. People try to emulate the champs, and Golden State was the champ. So everyone wanted to, you know, figure out a way to beat them or figure out a way to play with them. And that's a fun brand of basketball to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Guys just running up and down, through the legs, behind the back, shooting up, chucking up threes. No one really wants to watch a big man do a drop step. Like, it is what it is, because most people can see themselves. Most people see themselves as guards. There's not a large, the population doesn't see themselves as a 7 foot, 300, 250 pound big man drop stepping and dunking on people. So shooting a three is something everybody can do. So I understand it, but at the same time, I think people are going to emulate Cleveland now.
Yeah,
they play a big man. They play a stretch four, but Kevin Love is a big man who posts up, shoot threes. He kind of does it all.
Let's be frank. They're all going to want to find a LeBron James somewhere. I mean, you play anything around him and it works. Yeah. The last question about basketball in the NBA. The Chicago Bulls, since you were on the team, mm-hmm. has changed significantly. I mean, Coach Tibbs is in Minnesota and the team is spread out. You saw this offseason, just mm-hmm. a real – what started off to be a rebuilding for the team turned into a reshuffling as yeah. Rajon Rondo and Dwayne Wade come aboard. You've been in the NBA for a while. You've been on different teams. You've seen rebuilds and you've also seen reshuffles. What do you make of the way that the Chicago Bulls are organizing and preparing for the next season?
Gar Foreman did a great job of what they call it. He calls it retooling.
Yeah, right.
Retooling, because losing a guy like Derrick Rose, who's in a community, who's I mean, he's just one of the best players to ever wear a Bulls jersey, and Joakim Noah, and everyone was pretty much like, oh, my goodness, what are we going to have out on the court next year? But getting D-Wade, getting Rondo, the young guys from last year performed well. They'll be a year older and a year wiser. I mean, you know, a big guy like Robin Lopez would definitely be able to clog the middle for him. So they did a great job of retooling and being competitive next year, and Jimmy is just getting better and better with just...
He's a good singer, too. I see him on all those Instagram...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's not getting better and better, but his game is getting better and better, and he's just... he's playing on USA Basketball, which is going to help his confidence coming back.
As a Chicago kid, were you at all dismayed at the way that the fans dealt with Derrick Rose leaving? I mean, there was sort of this bittersweetness of it where you wanted to see more. That was a great run, and instead we got good riddance. Does that affect you at all?
I mean, it's disappointing because, first off, he didn't leave. Right. He got traded. He got traded away. Another part about it is disappointing was the fact that he didn't quit. He's got injured on the court. He wasn't rollerblading or, you know, skiing. He was on the basketball court, leaving it on the court, and he got hurt. It's part of the game. It's something that you can't do about that. His skills didn't diminish. He's just been injured over and over trying to get back on the court. So it's sad to see people kind of, you know, mock him and act as if he, you know, just lost his skill or he doesn't work hard or anything like that. He keeps getting hurt, and he kept getting hurt. But eventually he's going to be healthy, and we all know the type of player.
Yeah, that's scary to think about.
And he's healthy.
Nazim Muhammad in studio with me, the former Chicago Bull, I guess free agent, Oklahoma City Thunder. He's got the 5th annual Full Court Press Against Cancer. The fundraiser coming up at Gallery Marchetti on Friday night, being put on by the Nazim Muhammad Foundation. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, and I want to talk about the foundation and what you're doing for philanthropy here in the city of Chicago. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest in studio, Nazim Muhammad, great, one of Chicago's own, Kentucky Wildcat, played for the Bulls, but also went to Kenwood here in Chicago in Hyde Park, Kenwood. And he's got the 5th annual Full Court Press Against Cancer taking place Friday at Gallery Marchetti. It's part of the Nazim Muhammad Foundation. You know, we talked about this last year. You're very involved with charities and other ways to raise money for things that are, and for people that are in need here in the city mm-hmm. of Chicago. Why?
It's just one of those things. As you get older, you see the world a little bit different. And then being older and having kids, you definitely change your views. I mean, I want to be able to show my kids that I'm just not the basketball player. And giving back is a selfish way to make yourself feel good.
Yeah, right.
Because at the end of the day, I'm always surprised at how grateful some people are for me giving back. Because I look at it as part of my civic duty. But I also look at it like, why wouldn't I give back? I mean, I've been blessed by basketball to receive so much, to play a game that entertains people. So if I got the opportunity to give back, and I'm giving back in a selfish way. I'm giving back to organizations and things that are dear to my heart, you know, and things that have affected me through family and friends. So, it's, you know, if you can give back, and it's always not about giving back money, if mm-hmm. you can give back time, which I feel is more valuable than money, I mean, in a way, I'm taking the easy way out because I'm helping people give back money, but time is the most valuable, especially if you can give it back to kids.
In your life, before basketball, I mean, were you an altruistic kind of guy? Were you a guy who gave back? Did you help clean up the community? Were you involved with volunteerism?
Not a lot. I'm kind of middle of the road. If somebody asked me and I can do it, I would do it. But even so, like early in my career, it was just easier just to write a check. like I wouldn't, you know, I didn't have my foundation. If somebody, you know, if it was a good cause and I thought they did good work, because there's so many bad, you know, organizations out. So sometimes you always kind of weary about should I donate, is, you know, so. But so I used to just take the easy way, like here, you know, how much you need. OK, I see what I can do and try to help you. But now I just felt like I wanted to have more of, put in more time, put in more work to help organizations that I believe in, and use myself as a platform to get these organizations a little publicity, because they're really doing work.
I have a 9-year-old son, and I think about the volunteer opportunities in the neighborhood or anywhere around, and I always think about, you know, I should be giving back more. I should be doing more, not just with my, like you said, like with any sort of money or, but the idea of helping, you know, neighbors, helping clean up the park across the street, other things like that. There's a fulfillment to it.
Yeah. Oh, yes, it definitely is. I mean, it's funny because the build up to the fundraiser, I start getting irritable. I start getting, it's so much work behind the scenes. Or I started thinking about, man, this is the last year. I don't know if I want to do this again. And then the night of, and seeing how much fun people have and how excited the people, once we present the checks and how grateful, then I'm like, okay, when am I going to do the next day? I start searching for the next day. And then I start kind of thinking, okay, let the next calls kind of come to me.
You mentioned that the causes are specific based on, you know, the situations of your families and friends. Talk about that. I mean, this is the full court press against cancer, and talk about why it's important for you to raise money for cancer and for the other things that you do.
It's one of those things that it's almost like it was like, you know, they say if things happen 3 times, then, you know, you're supposed to take, you know, actually be attentive and be aware.
Do something about it.
And I had 4 different people in my life who were diagnosed, and 1 friend who passed with cancer. And I was just like, because I was at the time, I had a totally different cause I was going to kind of just go for. I was going to try to attack the violence in the city and kind of join different groups to do that. But then there's so many people who are doing that and they have great causes. But this hit me so hard as far as just the people in my life, you know, dealing with this horrible disease. And I just like, you know what, this is the cause. I mean, it's 4 different people. I've had people in the past, but this just 4 different people in a short period of time. I was like, I want to, you know, do something. So I started searching for an organization that kind of was doing something that I would do if I was in, you know, if I had that organization.
You mentioned cancer and you mentioned violence. I mean, two things in Chicago that, you know, you can raise money for, and you can raise money for, and you can raise money for, and it doesn't seem to make that much of a dent. And I don't mean that as any disrespect to the work that's being done on both fronts for fundraising for both causes. Why do you think that is? I mean, it's a weird kind of societal thing that it's really hard to cure societal ills, and of course, when we're talking about with cancer, you know, bodily or medical ills.
But, you know, I look at it differently because, I mean, I do other things with my foundation, but when I look at that, sometimes giving back and people seeing you give back and the people that you give back to and recognizing organizations that's doing good work, it may cause other people to want to give to that organization to help them do better work. And then what I've noticed with kids, giving back to kids, it may not have them go out and do it now, but it may be 20 years from now where they feel an obligation to pay it back. Because that's what happened to me. I mean, I used to go to the Sue Duncan Children's Center before I had a name. It was just Sue, the crazy white lady in our neighborhood who pretty much was, you know, she wasn't really crazy, but, you know, just pretty much, that's how we looked at it when you're 12 years old. They're like, hey, what are you just giving us fruit and making us read books to play basketball? I look at that, and that was so inspiring to me as far as what I do now, because it didn't hit me right away, you know, when I was that kid. But now as an adult, I'm looking like she is a godsend. She's a blessing in my life. Because she instilled that giving back for nothing, just to help people was the right thing to do. So I'm hoping that one day some kid is on this show talking to you about the Nazi Muhammad Foundation and the Village Project. He was the cause of me wanting to do this, and his, you know, just, you know, I hope it just goes in a vicious circle.
Pay it forward.
Pay it forward of goodness.
Nazi Muhammad, my guest tonight. The 5th annual Full Court Press Against Cancer is taking place Friday night at Galleria Marchetti. It's being put on by the Nazi Muhammad Foundation. Before I let you go, now are you retired or are you coming back?
I have no idea. I stay in shape.
That's how we know. Are you staying in basketball shape?
I'm staying in basketball shape. Worked out this morning. You know, I'm not looking to play, but I love the game. I love the process. I got a lot of knowledge that I can give to guys. I'm a great leader. I can still play. So at the end of it, you know, I've done it so long, it's habit. But at the end of the day, if somebody calls me and I like them and it's a great situation, I may consider. But if no one calls, I am not
going. Right?
I'm going to be okay. I'm just going to be one of the best shape, you know, guys just walking the street.
You'll be by far the best shape philanthropist in the city of Chicago. Nazi Muhammad, thanks so much for joining us. And I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.